Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3, verse 17.
Hey everybody, I'm Ashley Danner.
And I'm Reagan Gilliland.
And this is Off Script, our weekly podcast where we talk about last Sunday's sermon, talk about things that might have ended up on the cutting room floor, and try to go beyond the pulpit. I'm excited today to have Reagan in the studio with me.
I know, it's weird. It's just, we've never done this, I don't feel
it's
like.
It's brand new.
Just the two of us. Just the two of us.
Oh, some Will Smith.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like it's just, it felt right.
Is it weird that that's not the only time this month that that song has come up? I feel like you and me have a similar brain track.
Yes.
On some classic, like, sure. 90s and 2000s.
For sure.
Did you do anything interesting this weekend?
I did. So let's see. Saturday, we got some old friends from my old church, mm-hmm. That we hadn't seen in a while. And then Saturday, one of my friends got married.
Aww.
And it was really sweet. And I cried a lot. And it was just a really great celebration. And then I lost sleep this weekend because time changed. So that was rough. And then I saw Sunday afternoon, we had a couple church members, kids, mm-hmm. in a production of Les Mis at Genesis Theater, which is right around the corner.
Oh, fun.
So I went to go see that, and that was fantastic. So much talent. So it was a good weekend.
That's awesome.
What about you?
That's awesome. Yeah. No, me and Blake had a great weekend. Very productive, as well as we did some relaxation. We have some, like, little self-care things that we like to go do once a month, and that was awesome. We also lost time mm-hmm. this weekend, which, you know, is not too far off from our subject today
yeah.
about light mm-hmm. and our government's opinion about when light should come into our windows
yes.
in the morning.
Yes.
And I would like to mark that as dislike.
One star.
I would like to dissent.
Yes.
Dissent about that.
Uh-huh.
It's not. I was laughing at how many people made it to church mm-hmm. on Sunday,
yeah,
but how they were just making it.
They sure were. I made a comment every service, and I changed it based on, like, which service it was.
So we are in the fourth week of Lent.
Yeah, correct.
And you preach this Sunday on clarity, prayers for clarity,
yeah,
right?
I did. I don't know if I really hit the clarity
We headed towards clarity.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It took me to a place that you might recognize because it was your Halloween costume.
Yes.
At one point,
mm-hmm.
which is the Magic School Bus. You were giving us such great light factoids.
I was. Yes.
Yeah.
So I've shared this before when I do sermon prep is that I do go to Google a lot,
mm-hmm.
everyone's best friend. And I just thought it was interesting to, like, I Googled, like, light facts for kids, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it's just interesting. And then obviously I kind of Googled things about darkness
mm-hmm.
Because I thought I found some, like, interesting things about darkness, how it can stir creativity, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we know that light is really powerful. And I kind of get into that, like, light is used a lot.
Yeah.
And just phrases, like everyday phrases we say.
Well, we here in the Christ United Communications Department care a lot about light.
Yes.
As
do.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I would bring you a few light factoids
okay.
today.
Great.
They're heavy, but they're about light.
Okay.
So did you know that the human eye can distinguish between approximately 10 million different colors?
Really?
That's crazy. Okay, well, let's get into your sermon.
Okay.
So you did a really creative job of talking about the metaphor of light and dark with this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of even noted in your sermon that you were working with the scripture a little creatively.
Yes.
Say more about that.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So, I mean, I almost felt like, I think I said in the sermon how I almost felt like I was avoiding part of it mm-hmm. because the part of, like, kind of verses kind of 19 through 21 talks about how the dark is so evil
mm-hmm.
and, like, we don't want evil things to be exposed and we love the darkness. And I didn't go into that too much, because when thinking about light and dark, we all have different experiences of light and dark. It was interesting. Right after church, someone was like, you know, I know you talk about how light is this like really good thing, but like sometimes when I'm out on the lake and it's really dark, like that's when I feel really close to God. And so people have different perspective of what light and dark is. Some people love the light and some people really love the dark. Mm-hmm. But there's things in our lives. And sometimes as Christians, there's scripture or not even just what's talked about. I talked about how we have so much Christian jargon about what is darkness. And that's why I looked up like, what do Christians mean when they mean darkness? And it was all about like how evil we are and you're not, you know, you're anti-God and that means death and all those things. And in a world that sometimes wants to do the black and white, like what's good, what's bad, I think that prayer of clarity of like, what is actually light and what is dark? Mm-hmm. What is darkness? Because I think if we were to survey the room, I think we'd have different opinions. What made me take a creative spin is, I mean, really it was the Holy Spirit like leading me, like you need to expand this view of what darkness is. And so that's why I didn't talk so much about evil, because, again, going back to how we have different opinions, what is evil and what's darkness, mm-hmm. I talked about how some of us are in the dark or live in darkness, and not because of things we necessarily chose or there are things we struggle with, and we would love to get into the light, but we don't know how, or no one is helping us. Mm-hmm. And that's what kept, like, coming back to me, and I focus on verse 17, which I read at the top, is like Jesus didn't come to condemn and say, gosh, look at you where you are. You're such in the darkness. You're so evil. There's none of that. Mm-hmm. But we're really good at saying like, look at you. Look at all those choices. Look how evil you are. Look how bad you are because you're blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny. I know you and I were talking about this on Sunday, but you and Chris's sermon that sermons this last couple of weeks have really unintentionally, obviously, synced up with a Bible study that me and my Sunday school class, Copying Conversations, are doing. And we're reading the book Bible Stories for Grownups, Reading Scripture with New Eyes by Josh Scott. And I'll be honest, I underestimated this book quite a bit when we chose it. I thought it was going to be a nice soft option for us as we're growing our class. And I could not have been more wrong about that. And y'all have synced up this. So we walked straight out of Sunday school into your sermon. And I got to sit with my class. And our study was actually on when Jesus met Zacchaeus.
Mm-hmm. Great story.
Great story. And he links that to some other stories in Luke, you know, when he meets the tax collector Levi and has dinner with him. And all of it's described that everyone is grumbling. And at least the point that Josh Scott made in those couple of chapters was about exactly what you said, that Jesus is calling us not to stop being bad, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Yes, to stop doing sinful things. You know, in this situation, Zacchaeus is kind of a mob collector for the Roman government. He's a Jew who's decided to help oppress his own people. But everyone is grumbling because they are so confused why Jesus would even be intermingling with Zacchaeus. He would have been considered darkness.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so I think we see a lot of scripture is that's why the Pharisees struggled a lot, is like, why would you want to touch that person or talk to that person or break bread with that person? Mm-hmm. Like, they are in the darkness. And Jesus is not afraid to go into those places. Like, that's where he's like, that's where we need to go. When you think about scripture, like, you know, did you visit me in the prison? Did you do all these things? And Jesus is like, well, basically you didn't. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. We love to be at a distance because we want to protect ourselves. We don't want to risk anything. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was not like that. He wasn't afraid to go to the places that were looked down upon or be with the people that were unclean. And we've got this story of Nicodemus, which, you know, I played with it a little bit. We didn't read that particular part, but I think there's something significant of Jesus being willing to meet in the night, like literally going into the dark.
Right. And I was thinking about this. First of all, Nicodemus, as soon as you brought him up, I imagined him as one of these grumblers. Uh-huh. And in that being willing to meet in the night, I was just sitting there thinking about how differently people who lived during these times when we're mm-hmm. focused on the Bible, experienced darkness
yeah.
so very differently than us. I will often flip on all of my plant sunlights in my office and turn the lights on and get like grind out 2 or 3 more hours of mm-hmm. work at 6 through the 8 o'clock hour when yeah. it is very much dark during the winter right now, mm-hmm. or it has been.
Yeah.
And they were not necessarily able to do that unless sure they weren't. Could afford oil for lamps. You know, there's a lot of imagery about lamps and different yeah. things in the Bible. But it's because it was like burning money. It was mm-hmm. it was expensive. So even meeting Nicodemus at night, it's very dark. It's mm-hmm. dangerous to walk around, probably.
Yeah.
It's you're exposed in a different way. It is interesting just to think of what Jesus would have had to prepare to do mm-hmm. in order to
yeah.
meet at night.
I think we forget, you know, as I was preparing for this podcast, mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, scripture where it's like, no matter where I go, you are there. Like even in Sheol, you are there, which mm-hmm. is considered this kind of like dark where death is. And so like people know this scripture that God is everywhere. God is willing. And thinking about Jesus as we get the Spirit, how like God wants to be everywhere mm-hmm. and with everyone. And I think in general, some people put God kind of in a box or put parameters like, well, God would never be found mm-hmm. in that place. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's exactly probably where God would want to find himself.
So why do you think this is such a tough metaphor to parse out for us? Like, why if it is so obvious in so many different ways that there is good about dark and there is mm-hmm. good about light and there is bad about light and there is
yeah.
bad about dark. That insider language you kind of referenced yeah. earlier about, you know, things that Christians say.
Yeah. You know, think about, oh, they're so lost
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. or they're in darkness, you know, and you're like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. It feels like it can mean whatever it needs to mean at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're finding I mean, I love being United Methodist in the way that we dig into scripture and we ask questions and we use our experience, like all that. And being a big tent church, we all have different opinions on what this means. And so what I was trying to do was give maybe a different perspective mm-hmm. and remind us really of our call, make, you know, that small choice. Darkness doesn't just mean evil. I think darkness means a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I kind of touched on that mainly kind of like in my benediction. I talked about how like people that are like grieving feel like they're in the dark. Mm-hmm. People that are battling with an addiction are in the dark. People that have marital problems, financial struggles, are dealing with sickness, and they feel like they're so stuck. A lot of people that find themselves in this darkness, however you want to, I'm using like quotes, don't always choose to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be really judgmental as people, as Christians. And there's something about Jesus' character and the way that he lived his life that had such compassion and love for people and didn't judge them. And I think that's like a call for us.
Absolutely. I mean, in the stories that I kind of referenced earlier, I'm just kind of brought back to this concept of Jesus revealing things mm-hmm. about people that might have been, so this kind of what we would call darkness, mm-hmm. instead of necessarily calling out it as bad, but he kind of pulls away these layers. Cause I feel like he does it in two, you brought up the Samaritan woman at the well
yeah.
as well. And so I'm thinking about how Jesus essentially by saying he would have dinner with Zacchaeus mm-hmm. said, there is good in you. I would have dinner with you.
Yeah.
And that was so impactful to him that he immediately yeah. changed his life. And then the Samaritan woman at the well, just to kind of take it out of darkness and show how light can mm-hmm. be used to disinfect things as well.
Yeah.
Talk about Jesus and what that situation, get into a little bit more about why Jesus going at noon, at high noon, to meet this woman
yeah.
is different.
So yeah, this woman had, the Samaritan woman had to go at noon when it was like the worst time to go fetch water because it's so hot. But she couldn't go early in the morning with the other woman because she'd be judged for her life. Mm-hmm. And so her only choice was to go midday. And being a Samaritan and Jesus being a Jew, like, she's unclean. She definitely should not give him water. A man and a woman shouldn't be talking to, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's all these layers of lie, like, why they shouldn't be in the same place
right.
interacting. And I looked at how probably every time she went to get water, she was probably nervous. Mm-hmm. Like, who was going to be there or who would she pass by? And then I do think she probably had to go back to her home and be really isolated mm-hmm. and had no community. Although she got to be out in the light, like it wasn't a safe place for her.
Right.
And Jesus being there midday, he changed the way that she could live in the world. Mm-hmm. And so he made the light safe for her.
Right. So you, this is something you said that is us working towards making the light safe mm-hmm. for people. And I know I keep going back to this Zacchaeus story, but yeah. like in the middle of a giant crowd of at least a minimum 70 people,
yeah.
Jesus aligned himself in a very cultural way uh-huh. with this person that was detested. Mm-hmm. Eating together meant a lot of things in the biblical world.
Oh, yeah.
And so aligning himself, just like he would have been seen talking to the Samaritan woman, mm-hmm. he gave them a chance or gave them his presence to support them in one way or another. What ways do you think that we could make the light safe for people? Like, tell it, like, do you have a story that comes to mind or something that is your...
yeah.
You're back up for this idea.
I think there's a lot of things that we get really uncomfortable with when people are going through things because we don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And so rather than moving forward and taking that step, we back away a lot. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. You know, I talk to people that say, you know, people didn't know how to care for me when I lost my husband or wife or whomever. I got cancer and no one knew how to act around me anymore. And so mm-hmm. instead of like trying, they just decided to go silent. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us, we have to have the courage mm-hmm. and the love of Christ to go into places that are uncomfortable. And maybe, yeah, you're not going to know what to say in some instances. You're not. There's going to be some really hard things that you have to walk through, but I think Jesus calls us to that work. Mm-hmm. And so I would say just that small choice of even like picking up the phone or sending a text, showing up to someone's house and not letting them find themselves just stuck in the dark. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the light seems unattainable after so long for some people that have gone through really hard things. Mm-hmm. So then they find themselves the dark is just where they stay. Yeah. And I don't think that's where God wants us.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me and also convicted me. I'm a person who has a lot of kind of extroversion to share. But mm-hmm. once I have reached a certain limit of that extroversion, mm-hmm. I can get my energy sapped really easily. And then you know, that doesn't feel very good for me. So I have a tendency to kind of do a little bit of what you're describing. And it reminded me of a story I heard through one of our neighbors at Hope Restored, which is a first contact kind of ministry that we work alongside and partner with through serving others. We had a great video about them on Sunday.
That's good.
That's available to view on their page at cmc.com/serve. But about what it is like to experience homelessness. Mm-hmm. And especially public homelessness. Mm-hmm. And this story is not in the video, but it's a story we heard when we were there about just how much it means to people to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but when I am at a brewery or out or doing whatever, like I say brewery because we went and visited the new one that just opened in downtown Plano on Sunday after church. And there's folks who are experiencing homelessness in the space, and you can kind of tell that they're wanting to talk to me. And I'm like, oh man. And my immediate like instinct mm-hmm. is don't make eye contact, uh-huh. just stay in my lane, mind my own business. And it is so crazy how that's an instinct either when you see panhandlers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of putting people in the dark.
Yeah.
Like
we push people
into the dark. And I was just so conscious of that and realizing that to get back to the story that I heard at Hope Store, people expressing that this was one of the only places that they had been felt seen mm-hmm. or felt like a person or felt like someone was talking to them. One of the ministries that we're starting to drum up and work on with Hope Restored is a callback ministry.
Yeah.
Because they have this incredibly long list of people who are waiting for things. Mm-hmm. They're in this very dark place. They are under-resourced. There's something that has gone wrong. And sometimes they don't get a call back on, like, an expectation of what might happen to help them for 6 months.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we're trying to help this very overwhelmed ministry with is just being able to be people who can pick up the phone and just say, hi, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I know you're waiting. And yeah. I don't have a whole lot of answers for you yet.
Yeah.
But I know you're there. And apparently this callback that they've already been doing has vastly improved people's lives mm-hmm. and experiences to not be invisible, to be brought into the light.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that ministry and its growth with us just to do this exact mm-hmm. thing that you're talking about
yeah.
for people.
Yeah. It's hard and it's hard work and it doesn't come naturally to us at all. Mm-hmm. But like I said in my sermon, I think there's people just waiting to be cared for mm-hmm. and given a second chance. Mm-hmm. And we can be part of that.
Yeah.
We can be part of that.
And even there's things that, you know, I kind of said this a little earlier. I used the word disinfect. There's this like quip that's basically like the best disinfectant is sunlight, which is this idea that the best thing to get things cleaned up and handled is for everybody to be on the same page, everybody to see mm-hmm. what's happening. And I have had plenty of friends that are like the ones that you were describing that basically were going through something and were trying to manage it on their own. And so it's for us as well to be willing to bring our darkness or whatever we're going through into the light and yeah. say, friends, uh-huh. I am
yeah.
struggling.
Yeah.
And be it addiction, be it partner dysfunction or like whatever. Mm-hmm. It is so much more when your community can come alongside you mm-hmm. in those things rather than keeping them all bottled up. That was just something right. that popped into my mind as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've come a long way with some certain areas of like, you know, we're getting better with the mental health, like being able to share about, yes, I have depression or I see a counselor like that. But there's a lot of things that are still kind of, do I want to talk about how mm-hmm. my marriage isn't good? Or do I want to talk about how I have postpartum depression and mm-hmm. I feel like I should be better at, you know, like mm-hmm. there's all these things that we kind of still kind of keep a little bit hidden.
Yeah. You talked about Scott a little bit and his happy light.
Yeah.
And it made me think about on the podcast, I've been talking a lot about this, like an office renovation that we've mm-hmm. been working on. And it's my husband, Blake, works from home and our office has zero windows, zero natural light.
Ooh.
He's in there all day and he's worked two jobs for quite a long time. So he's also in there an extended period of time, even past that. And for the longest time, we just did not invest in great lighting for the space. And it was affecting our mental health and mm-hmm. especially him because yeah. he was in there so much. And he would do a great job of taking breaks and going on a walk. But when you have to sit and grind out something for 5 hours or 6 hours, being in not great light is mm-hmm. really hard, regardless of like whatever mental health stuff you already have that's making you feel worse. Yeah. And we added some new lights to the space. We invested in that. And it is the biggest improvement ever. Both mm-hmm. of us are so much happier. We love being in there now. We've laughed so much because we love it. And we've also asked ourselves why it took so long
yep.
to do it. It wasn't like it was crazy expensive. It was just the doing of the thing. And so I wanted to ask you, like, why is it, do you think, that sometimes we want to just push ourselves to deal? Like, we should be able to handle this amount of darkness, or we should be able to plot on. I feel like that's a shared experience of either taking a little too long to improve a lighting situation, or even when you're hard at work at something and you don't adjust something for yourself. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we think we should be able to handle the dark?
I don't know if it's an American thing, mm. but I think it might be. Mm-hmm. Like, suck it up. I mean, really, yeah. uh-huh. you know, it's like, you got to keep working. You got to power through. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it. It's high pressure to be like successful. And if you take a break, like you're weak. If you ask for help, you're weak. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to get away from that some. Very like it's very tiny. But like I think that's just the pressure people feel. I mean, mm-hmm. you think about, I mean, what my daughter's learning as a second grader. Mm-hmm. Then I think about what I probably learned much later. I mean, it's like, let's achieve, and like make sure you do really well on all these tests and make sure you're taking all these AP classes. Like, just it's all this pressure from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it probably wasn't a very quick transition that Scott got himself a happy light. There's probably some of that hesitation of like, this is like $40. Do I really need to spend $40?
I don't know. He likes to buy random things a lot. So
that's just my husband then.
He's like, sure, I'll get that. And I'm like, have you seen it? Where is it? And I'm like, under a pile of books. I'm like, can you? And then I'm like, go get your sad light. He doesn't like when I call it a sad light. He's like, I'm a good wife. I promise.
So we use light in the Methodist Church in lots of different ways. As you were sitting there talking about like the less binary understanding of light versus dark, I was like, we have like three services a year where we very purposefully adjust the lighting to experience or express something. Would you say a little bit about that and why we do that?
So I think about, I was like, the Good Friday service, we like slowly extinguish so that it's very dark. Think about Christmas Eve when we slowly dim the lights and then like pitch black, and then we have all the candles that light up. And then what other?
I was thinking about the service of the longest night the service of hope and healing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are services that we very carefully craft because they are, I feel like, an opportunity for those who are grieving and those who are feeling darkness to acknowledge that darkness and maybe bring it into the light a little bit. But they're not necessarily needing to jump into like Christmas Eve level of excitement.
I think it's realizing in that when it comes to like grief and different emotions, like you can experience this great light and joy and have deep, profound sadness at the same time.
Yeah.
And so using the light candles in like a dark place, like they both exist because we believe that Jesus, the light, like darkness is not going to overwhelm that light. The light is always going to win, you know? And I think that's a good reminder to us.
Mm-hmm. So the sermon itself was about a prayer for clarity. And we've talked a lot about the not so clear dichotomy between light and dark. So what is the way that we can be in prayer or be intentionally trying to discern where darkness is, what kind of darkness it is? What would you say about what we can be doing to look for clarity and pray for that?
Yeah. Probably, I know Chris is more exact, like kind of one prayer, but I think with this, I think praying to ask the question, am I dealing with darkness right now? Mm-hmm. So maybe coming to terms where maybe you're struggling. So prayer for clarity of like where you are, like your mental health, your spirit, all of that. I think a prayer for clarity of what you can do to help someone.
Mm-hmm.
Also a prayer for clarity of not to jump to judgment when thinking someone is in darkness. And maybe like asking God, like, do I need to have a little bit more grace? Or am I wrong about this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of prayers for clarity.
So what can you do here as a part of our community at Christ United if you are experiencing darkness and you would like to bring some of that into the light, or if you're trying to discern some stuff about that and you want someone to walk with you?
Yeah. Man, I love talking with people. I love getting coffee. And so if you are struggling with something, I will at least meet with you like a couple times. If I feel like you maybe need a professional counselor, I'd be happy to refer you on. But I hear a lot of stories, and I just need people to know that they don't need to feel scared or shameful, like, oh my gosh, Is Pastor Reagan going to look at me differently?
Mm.
And I'm like, no, I'm probably going to have a great deal of compassion for you. And then if there's, you know, through our care ministers, we have periodical classes for like a grief or a prayer team, things like that, that can maybe help you. But any of the staff would love to care for you. That's why we're here. You know, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, we do have a Understanding Your Grief class that is actually starting tomorrow, which for this podcast, that will be Tuesday, March 12th. They're getting started. That's at 6:30 p.m. down in the adult education area. It goes on for a while, so if you're not able to be there that day, you can absolutely just
We do that particular class pretty often.
Mm-hmm. We do that. We do that pretty often. And then we have also just kind of related.
Oh, we have chaplains and Stephen ministers that can meet with you, and mm-hmm. you kind of get linked up with one person that visits with you.
Yeah, so that's our Stephen ministries. Yeah. That Mike is a great contact for receiving a Stephen minister.
Correct.
Just, and that's just a person who's another church member who's gone through some prep and some training.
Yeah, quite a bit of training.
Yeah, to be a good and caring person to walk with you when you're dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it might be. Well, Reagan, this has been great. I feel like we could talk for a lot longer, but looking forward to this coming Sunday. Easter and Holy Week are getting closer than ever.
Close. Yep, sure are.
Closer than ever. We have a few more weeks before we get to enjoy all that is a part of Holy Week.
Right.
Coming soon, we'll have Palm Sunday and our Easter egg hunt.
Yep.
You can sign up for that right now. That's going to be a more traditional Easter egg hunt
this year.
Uh-huh. And the kiddos will get to hunt with their little age brackets and have a great time. That'll be snacks. You can register for that at cmc.com/connect. And then we'll jump straight into Holy Week.
Yeah, so Monday, Thursday mm-hmm. service. Yep. Good Friday.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have a children's service for Good Friday as well.
Yeah, children's service for Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday.
And then Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, learn all about that at Connect, cmc.com/connect. Yeah. But I'm excited we got to chat.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, y'all have a wonderful week, and we will see you soon. Bye, y'all.